and welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register podcast about Illinois politics and state government. I'm editor Angie Muse, and I'm here with State House reporter Doug Finke and political writer Bernie Schoenberg. Doug, the big news this morning, or this week rather, out of the State House is it appears that Illinois is destined to raise the minimum wage.
They're halfway there. The Senate voted on a party line basis, I might add, to raise the minimum wage gradually over the 6-year period to $15 an hour. It's currently $8.25 an hour, and that has not been increased since I think 2010 was the last time that there was a bump up in the minimum wage. So the Senate voted this way. There were some questions going in whether they might do that or make some changes to the bill as it was presented to maybe do a regional minimum wage so that like downstate areas could pay less or have longer to implement the wage because the cost of living is lower than it is in Chicago. And the argument is that you should not have one size fits all when it comes to the minimum wage. Governor J.B. Pritzker, who has made this a priority for his administration, talked to the Senate Democrats for about 30 minutes before they cast their votes. Apparently, his reassurances were enough to put the issue over the line.
And he and Kimberly Lightford, the state senator from Maywood, who has been pushing this for a number of years and is the sponsor of this, were pretty clear that, at least in their public statements, they think there should be uniform minimum wage across the state. You know, you shouldn't be penalized for living and working at, you know, I don't know if she used Home Depot, but I think she did in, you know, Cairo or Danville or Chicago, things like that. You should get paid the same and rise, you know, move up in your lifestyle.
Right. Whereas the flip side, that the business groups such as the Retail Association, convenience store groups, you know, they're arguing, you know, the cost of living is so much less in different areas of the state that it's going to have a disproportionate amount of impact on a small business in, say, you know, rural central Illinois versus a business in Chicago that has a broader customer base.
Right.
And they also make the point that the city of Chicago has been raising its minimum wage beyond what the state mandates for a couple of years now. So retailers in the city are already well on their way to meeting that $15 mark, whereas retailers downstate are basically starting from scratch, and they've got a lot more ground to cover in a shorter period of time. And again, they're saying that that's going to work a financial hardship on a lot of people.
Yeah, and businesses. And Republican senators, one by one during the debate, were standing up, you know, mentioning who they had heard from their constituents, the small businesses, the institutions, you know, social service, universities, how much this wage will cost. The Democrats, J.B. Pritzker, behind them in this, you know, that says they'll put money in the budget to make up some of those gaps or at least fill the gap for a while. There's also tax credit that will phase out over years, but I think at first blush will be like 25% of the proposed increase for business they'll be able to deduct from their taxes moving on. So they're trying to make accommodations, but it turned into some pretty interesting arguments. At one point, Dale Ryder, who is a Republican senator from Mattoon, longtime senator, said, you know, if you have a single mom with, I think, a couple kids, and they go to $15 an hour, they're going to lose their SNAP benefits, their food stamp benefits. And the sponsor across the way, Senator Lightford, said, that's the idea. She said that just off the cuff, off the microphone. I was sitting in the press box not far from her. And then when she got on the microphone to respond officially, she said, I just can't believe it. All these years, I can't believe Republicans are saying we shouldn't work to get people off of government benefits like that. So it was an interesting turnaround in the discussion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing, too, the business community is arguing that, you know, if the raise goes up, they will find themselves simply hiring fewer people.
There were lots.
That maybe instead of having 5 part-timers, y'all, they cut back to 2 or 3.
There were lots of people arguing that people won't hire as you say, that extra employee, the part-timers. There is something in here that has a lower minimum wage for people under 18, so there is still
the
a teen rate, which, you know, instead of rising over years to the $15 would go to 13, I believe. So it's already lower, and that would stay there. So that was a concession to business. About an hour and a half after this passed the Senate, Governor Pritzker had an event in his office backed by a whole bunch of advocates and all Democrats, as it turned out. And, you know, he asked, there are no Republicans here. Are you just kind of bowling them over? And he's like, no, there's Republican ideas in this. We listened. So he's trying to maintain that, although we'll see where it goes. You know, Republicans in the Senate certainly didn't sound like they felt they had been heard. And Doug, I guess it's the Senate's off next week, House is in. But the indications are Speaker Madigan might be on board that Pritzker's using his political capital enough to get this through with no changes. What do you think?
The word from Madigan's office, and not from the Speaker himself, because he doesn't often talk to the press, but is that the Speaker is on board with this. The chief House sponsor, Representative Will Guzzardi of Chicago, said that he doesn't see any need to make changes in the bill. That would be the main concern when it goes to the House, is that they could inject their own versions of things. They could change perhaps maybe the tax credits or something of that nature. But Guzzardi said he doesn't see any reason to do that. So if they all hang together, then it should be a fairly smooth sailing in the House too.
How quickly, realistically, Doug, can they get it through procedurally?
Next week. I mean, they could do it as quickly, I guess, as Thursday, I think, would be the they'll no doubt. They already had a as they call it, a subject matter hearing on the minimum wage this last week. So I don't know that they would even feel the need to necessarily send the bill to committee, because it's already had a hearing in a sense. So they could send it to the floor and do it fairly quickly.
Yeah, and kind of everybody thinks the governor wants to get this done by the time he delivers his budget/State of the State address on February 20th, which is coming up quite quickly.
Which he said he wants to,
right.
To
he has
to.
Acknowledged yeah. that, too. So it's not common to see legislation move this quickly.
Not this early in the session. I mean, when they're up against deadlines at
true.
The end of May,
good
they
point.
Can move things
in
pretty
May,
quickly.
In May, things can happen quickly, but usually not in February.
Yeah. Right, and not something of this nature. I mean, there is some controversy, if you want to say, involved with this because of the impact that the business community says it will have on a lot of their members. So it's not necessarily a total feel-good thing. It certainly is for the advocates of a higher minimum wage, but there are some potential consequences for doing it also.
And I think the business community has been fairly outspoken in that they don't feel there's been a lot of compromise on the issue. The advocates, of course, disagree. They point to the phase-in being, you know, longer than...
Right, and the Restaurant Association is one group that...
The Restaurant Association has gotten on board.
Yeah, and that's partly because you can still use income from tips to pay, like, I think it's half of the minimum wage, so that will still be there, so they don't have to, you know, pay out of pocket to their employees far beyond where, you know, they'll go up some, but tips will still be involved, and that's what they wanted.
But the tax credits, even the tax credits that are in the bill to provide some relief to businesses to cover this cost, the business community says that they're very complicated the way that they're administered, and they don't really go far enough to provide adequate relief to businesses to cover the costs.
Okay. Another issue that had been dead before but is coming back also involves around what people should be paid, the issue of whether there should be a minimum salary requirement for teachers.
Yes, that came up again. Senator Andy Menard of Bunker Hill is a Democrat from Bunker Hill, is an advocate of this. He proposed it last legislative session. I believe the governor vetoed the bill because
he did.
The financial burden it would place
Governor Rauner at the time.
Governor Rauner, thank you. Yes. The burden that it would place on school districts, particularly small districts in rural areas that are not well-to-do to begin with. And he thought this would present a hardship for them. So Senator Menard is back at it with basically the same bill to gradually increase the minimum wage for teachers to $40,000. His argument is that we have a teacher shortage now, and he thinks that one of the reasons for that is that there is no guarantee of at least a minimum salary after spending 4 years in college getting a degree or to teach, and he thinks this is one way to potentially attack that problem.
I think it would not be going way out of bounds to predict that the Democratic legislature will pass this and this governor, Pritzker, will sign it.
I don't think you're crawling far out on a limb there, Bernie.
I'm not supposed to predict too much, but let's go with that one.
All right. Meanwhile, another big issue facing the legislature this year is whether or not to legalize recreational use of marijuana. And this week we saw an a group of the Catholic bishops in the state weighing in.
I think some people thought this legalization might be the first thing J.B. Pritzker did. It's turning out to be the minimum wage. But there are many people questioning this. It's interesting, just at the end of last week, Senator Durbin was in Springfield, raised questions about how much research there has not been done on the effects of marijuana, pointed to an article, which I guess is controversial, that's been published in a publication, raising questions. And he also said, because it's still scheduled as a narcotic or a federal banned drug, that the Food and Drug Administration hasn't done the kind of testing on its effects that legal drugs should have. And so he was basically urging caution. So then the Catholic bishops all over the state came out with a joint statement saying the same thing. We don't want to move forward with this. You've got competing interests. There are also Carol Ammons, who is a state representative, Democrat from Champaign-Urbana, came out with her own plan for legalization. There's also the Senate plan that's been going on for a while and has been in talks, but the sponsors of that, including Senator Staines from Chicago, are even saying in what I recently read that they're open to changes. Law enforcement has been putting kind of the foot to the brake pedal on this because they're worried about the effect of driving high and how do you monitor that? How do you figure out, who is or who isn't? It's not as easy as a breathalyzer for alcohol. So it's been a little more problematic. On the other hand, the other side of this, it's not just for the revenue that it would generate, but Governor Pritzker and others, including Representative Ammons and the other sponsors, say this is also a social justice issue because marijuana laws have so, I guess statistics show, have been enforced so much more against people with darker skin. And that is a continuing problem. So they're trying to go for something that would treat everybody the same and take away the illegality here.
But as you say, it is complicated. Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of senators, representatives still saying that, they are waiting to hear, they want to hear more. They haven't committed. Yeah. Doug, what would you say is the mood, at the Capitol?
Well, it's a mixed mood, and there's no clear demarcation among people who are for this and against this, at least that I can detect. It's not like this is a partisan issue where the Democrats will line up on one side and the Republicans on another. Senator Menarigan had a forum here in Springfield recently where he had the main sponsors of the legalization bill come in and take questions from people. And he said afterwards that he is not necessarily on board with this at this point. He still wants to look at it some more. And I think that's kind of the mood from a lot of people. There have been polls done that show a majority of people favor decriminalization of marijuana. But this is one of those, I think, touchy issues for lawmakers, that there could be some vocal opposition within their districts that they are sensitive to and are not going to rush to embrace this necessarily.
It actually kind of reminds me of, for instance, gun issues that, right, are not necessarily a partisan. They're maybe more about the community mood and the culture of where you happen to live.
Exactly.
And, Illinois is, of course, a diverse state when it comes to that.
That it is.
So, all right, another one to keep watching. But the other big looming thing is, you alluded earlier, the governor's budget address is coming up on February 20th, fairly short time away. We mentioned earlier there's a feeling that he wants to get the minimum wage through to have a win before that. What are we hearing about the budget address other than that it's going to be challenging?
Well, we've got the words of the governor himself yesterday at this event that he had following the vote on the minimum wage. He pledged that there is that he is going to deliver a balanced budget. I'll say that with a caveat that balanced budgets are often in the eye of the beholder, but we'll see what he comes up with. And apparently one of the things that he told to the Democrats before they voted on the minimum wage is that he is going to provide money in the budget to help human service agencies and others who are going to have to pay this minimum wage, but also rely on state funding for their operations. He's going to provide them with additional money to help out with this. So,
has a number price tag been put on that?
There have been various price tags put on how much it's going to cost the state. Ultimately, it's certainly in the millions. A couple hundred million, I believe, when it's fully in effect. But again, you can get different numbers from different people because
right.
some people will say that's offset by additional taxes that'll come in because people will get this minimum wage money and then spend it on things, and that'll generate some tax revenue.
So. It's still going to take a bit of magic. We're all anticipating to see how the governor puts a balance on this budget. We know he wants a graduated income tax, which is under our state constitution is not yet legal. He campaigned that he wants to do a constitutional amendment, but you can't get that on the ballot till 2020. So if it's a flat tax, raising the flat tax itself would be very questionable at this point. There might be sports betting. He might figure in legalization of marijuana and the money that comes from that, although that's not considered a panacea and may take a while to phase in just by getting all the rules in place. So it will be a very interesting speech on the 20th to see what his plans are. And just Doug and I have seen many of these. I'm just going to guess most Democrats are going to be kind of neutral or say positive things about the great ideas of the governor. And I'll bet a lot of Republicans say they don't like what he said.
You're going out on a limb again.
I'm going out on
a
limb.
Yeah. Boy, Bernie's going wild this week here. All right. Well, whatever they do say, we will be back next week with more details and with everything else that's happening under the dome. Thanks, as always, for listening. And you can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We'll talk to you next week.